I believe in today's world that one of the biggest challenges that every one of us face as Christians is to keep the big view, the eternal view of everything that's going on. There's a lot of issues, major issues that the world talks about today, and I want to just list two or three of them. We talk about economics, the haves, the have-nots, massive poverty all over the world, the issues of race that seem to come up all the time, family collapse, the issues around the topic of sexuality. And every one of the issues and others that we would mention are wallowing in secular and academic answers, political answers. And in the reality of the world today, it seems that God is not allowed at the table. God is just not allowed to be a part of what's going on in the world. Nobody ever says, what does God think about this? And that's scary. We find people arguing rather than listening to one another, finding who they can blame rather than offering to lead people to hope. And people, even in the church, constantly worrying and bemoaning everything's going on, instead of bowing their knee in worship of God and looking for His answers. I want the church today, with the scripture we're going to look at, to remember the words of Jesus. We don't need to look any further. And if we're going to claim faith in Him, we've got to embrace that. But to remember the words of Jesus that are found in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And listen what He says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You, Christians, are the light of the world, Jesus says. And a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There is a miraculous belief that is the underpinning of everything Jesus said right here. And that miraculous belief is that if Christianity is displayed, it will draw people to it. So that becomes a question for every one of us. Do we believe that if we display Christianity and put Jesus first, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit first in our life, that that will attract all people to it? Can we find the answers in Christ? Now, I'm going to admit something. It seems impossible. It seems absolutely impossible that if we were to say, with everybody that'll be here today, if there were to be this huge transformation, everybody all of a sudden is raised up in spiritual maturity to say, it's all about Jesus, nothing else in my life from now on. Mathematically, it seems impossible that would make a difference. But I'm going to tell you it would. It would. And if you don't believe it, it's miraculous to believe, but if you don't believe it, Jesus had 12 men He released on the world. And they were not anything other than one little group of locally gathered men He had handpicked, but He had poured His Spirit into them, and you and I are here today. You name anybody that's ever had that much influence. It is divine, it is miraculous. And we need to be praying for that type of revival. Listen to it again. You, don't think about anybody else. Don't even think about the second service. Don't think about Sunday school class. Don't think about anything. You right here, this morning, that braved the rain to get here, you are the salt of the earth, Jesus is telling you. Don't lose your saltiness. Now, with that said, I want you to notice the work of the Holy Spirit in the scripture we're going to look at today. God's Word. Look at the work of the Holy Spirit. See if you see the work of the Holy Spirit and what's going on in what we read. And then have this question in your mind. Have you ever been aware of the divine working? What does the scripture say? Do not thwart. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And another big question comes up. Do I believe the Holy Spirit's alive and doing well in Christians' lives today? So the question then becomes very real. Have I seen the Holy Spirit alive in my life? Let's look at what he does in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, starting with verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip. Now, I want to stop right there because as soon as we read the word angel, we think I'll go do it if an angel tells me. So I want us to just ask ourselves that question. What is an angel? It doesn't tell us here how the angel looked. Doesn't say a word about the angel. I don't believe the angel was dressed in a white robe with little wings fluttering in front of Philip. But you know what? I may find out I was wrong. But an angel came to Philip and spoke to him. And I'm just going to ask you to make it real this way. Picture it in this way. Just conjure up this vision of what happened in your mind. A person of some sort of divine appearance. Maybe they were just full of peace and contentment. They were new to the area or had never been there before, and all of a sudden they're there talking to Philip, and he understands something's different about him. It's a person. But they speak with authority. They speak with love. They speak with compassion. They challenge him to action, and then they're gone. Just picture it however you want. I see it as happening that way. And they say to Philip, as this divine appearance, maybe the Holy Spirit in someone. And they say, Philip, go south to the road. The desert road. You know where it is, Philip. The one that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. There's somebody going to be traveling south on that road, Philip. I want you to go down there. So Philip started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopia, a country south, a little southeast of Egypt on a map. A northern African country, but an African country that exists to this day. And Philip goes and he meets a eunuch there, this sexless man, neutral in the presence of the queen, and there would be no thought of any impropriety of temptation when he would be alone with her. Nothing could be said. And what's it say about him? He's a very important official in charge of all the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. He's a powerful person. Allowed to take care of that treasury as a eunuch. But very powerful. And the next verse tells us so much. This man had gone to Jerusalem for one reason and one reason only, and that was to worship. Many people say he may have had Jewish blood, and that may be very true. He wanted to come to Jerusalem. Was one of those people maybe that of not Jewish blood, Gentile blood, that wanted to be able to worship the God of the Jews. But he'd traveled a great distance. Traveled a great distance. Worship has certain characteristics, doesn't it? We're here to worship today, but worship has certain characteristics. Worship carries with it humility. Worship carries with it there is someone or an object to be worshiped. In this chance, it would be God. Worship has with it in a person's heart a longing for something bigger, greater than themselves that they can bow down to and serve. Worship has with it, I hope, on Sunday mornings for us, for anyone, a desire of intimacy with the one being worshiped. Worship has a recognition of supremacy. For this man, the supremacy of God, greater than the queen, greater than the treasury, greater than anything else. And worship has with it a longing for things to be better, my life to be better. This man had come to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, probably being driven by someone else. Maybe it's a 4 or 5 or 6 person chariot. Maybe he was being carried as a great official over these long miles. But he's in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah, reading the old prophecy. Now, I want you to think about something with this man. We would pick up a $20 Bible and have Isaiah in it. He maybe had two or three laying in the back of the chariot if it's like our cars today. But here's the truth of the matter. If you owned a portion of the scripture, then it had cost you a fortune. If you owned anything in the written word, it cost you a fortune, and it'd taken weeks and months at the quickest to even produce, as it would be copied and checked and fixed and every I, every T crossed. So the person copying it would have to copy it exactly right, and another to check them against an original, and another to check them. And then the papyrus would be extremely expensive. And he's purchased this. He has this desire to know God. And he's reading it. And the Spirit said to Philip, probably a quickening at this time, Philip, here's why you came. You go to that chariot and you stay near it. Do you see the divine working? Do you see what's happening? So Philip ran up to the chariot. And he heard the men reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked a very pertinent question. There was no idle chit-chat at this time. Friend, do you understand what you're reading? I bet Philip remembered back when he didn't understand. I bet Philip was more than willing to meet this man where he was instead of setting judgment of him. The racial difference he would have displayed, the cultural differences he would have displayed. Philip just said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man answered honestly, how can I? How can I unless somebody who knows what it is, what it's all about, explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. He saw Philip knew. And I want you to see, with everything that was good, everything had worked out, this man was still empty. You know what I would say about the people who come to church at Boone's Creek almost to the person? You know, we were out today greeting people and carrying umbrellas back and forth to cars and laughing about it and having fun and getting wet. But you know what I would say about everybody that came in this morning? We have it good. The fact we drove to church this morning in a dry car, we have it good. The fact we own an umbrella that we left at home, we have it good. We have it good. Nobody here's hungry right now unless you chose to be. Nobody will go to bed. You know, we hear that all the time. We have it good. But I also know that a lot of people walking in today will be longing for something better. That God-filled hole in us has not been filled. Our desire to know Him. You see the divine working here. Philip, invite him to come and sit with him, to listen. And this is the passage of Scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Who is that? And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. Who's it talking about, Philip? I want to know. And in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. No one can speak of his descendants. He died without children. Who is it? His life was taken from this earth. Who is it? Who's the prophet talking about, he says in verse 34. Who is it? Was he talking about himself or someone else? Philip, I want to know. I need to know. And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. From that moment on, it was about no one but Jesus. And that is the only good news that will last. And I'm going to tell you, by sheer definition, if we're going to call something good news, It must last. I'm tired of good news that wears out. I'm tired of good news that fails. I'm tired of good news that grows old and dies. I'm going to prove it to you. The first service tends to be a little bit of our older service. You didn't have to get little kids up and get them ready, did you, most of you? But I want you to listen to this. Would you rather be 25 years old and win $3,000? Would you rather be 25 years old and win $3,000 or be 85 years old and win $125 million? God be with you if you go for the higher amount of money. We want good news that will last. We want life. And he said, Philip, it was about Jesus. And you know why he let him kill him? Because, Mr. Ethiopian, your sins needed to die. The only news that will last is the news of Jesus. The only news that'll last. And we've spent our lives chasing all the news that won't last. You see the divine working here? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Obviously, that had been an integral part of the teaching. As he taught about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, he taught him about the miraculous happening of baptism. Not of what the Ethiopian would do, but what God would do in him as he poured his spirit out upon him. So he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It's an amazing story, isn't it? It's an amazing story. And I'm going to venture a guess that when this Ethiopian was traveling with all of his wealth and probably his posse and his protection and his security, let's say there's 10, 12, 15 people with him, that they heard the message. And I'm going to bet you those two were not the only ones in the water. I bet you there was a revival broke out right there in the creek bed. And they heard the good news. And if they didn't hear it from Philip, that dripping, wet Ethiopian government official probably began to talk to him as they went down the road. And they may have stopped here and over here. And a few miles later, when they crossed a stream again for another, and the word of God spreads, because it always does that. It always does that. Let me ask you some more questions. Now this is where I'll start meddling. Would you rather your child be picked for the travel team? Travel team's just below pro ball. Listen to any parents. Would you rather your child be the second baseman on the travel team or know Christ for all eternity? Some will make that decision every weekend. Would you rather your child be the star on the soccer field or see the importance of being a child of God? Hard questions, aren't they? Hard questions. I said, preacher, they can be both. Yeah, they can. If dad and mom sat down and said, we're going to be a part of worship first. The Ethiopian eunuch we never hear about anymore. But we know from church history that years later, there was a church found in northern Africa in the area of Ethiopia. God will not allow His word to return void. God will not allow the Holy Spirit to not guide, even and sometimes more so, that brand new convert to be able to go to a ready field. I want everybody to listen to me. Everybody. Simple question. Do you know anybody that's lost? Anybody? Do you know any individual anywhere in your life that is lost? And all they can look forward to is eternal damnation. They're good people. It's like this Ethiopian was. They obviously are longing for more, just like he was. You can see in their lifestyle, they're constantly looking for something. But do you know anybody that's lost? You see, Philip wasn't on a stage three steps up in front of a church. Philip wasn't getting to preach to several hundreds of people that would come and gather to worship. Philip was evangelizing to an audience of one. And that one took the gospel to a whole nother country, and he began to flourish. Do you know anybody? And I'm going to tell you, don't ever say, I'm not Philip. You listen to me real close. Philip wasn't Philip till the Holy Spirit filled him. Is that not right? Go south to that road. Why? But rather it was go south. Do you know what you're reading? Do you know anybody? Somebody is waiting for you to issue maybe just an invitation. Somebody is waiting for you to take. You know, when I gave you that stick man gospel, you went out of here with a stick of dynamite. Have you lit the fuse on it anywhere? A stick of dynamite that anybody can use. Have you lit the fuse on it? It may be, son, I want to talk to you about something. This is hard for me because I've raised you. I've raised you the best I know how, but I've learned some things. And could you give me 30 minutes to just show you what I've learned? Daughter, I think you've heard me say over and over and over, you're the apple of my eye. I can't tell you how much I love you. But there's one area I've not shared with you, my love. Can I show you this? And we'll be amazed what happens. We'll be overwhelmed by what happens. Because the same Holy Spirit that filled Philip and Stephen and the others we'll read about is the Holy Spirit that we sat here as a church and prayed would fill us last week. Let's bow our heads. And let's ask God to fill us again with His Spirit and quicken us of who it is we should speak to. Let's bow our heads, ask God again to fill us with His Spirit and quicken us as to who He desires for us to speak to. We pray that You have filled us and made us alive with the living, powerful, divine nature of the Holy Spirit in us. That, Father, if needed right now, that we ourselves know peace, and the patience of God in our lives. That God, as we prayed last week and again today, that you refresh us, refill us with the Holy Spirit. Father, you love us. And the evidence of that love is held in our hands, in the body and in the blood of Christ. We've uncovered them, or we uncover them now. So that as we look, as we do every week, we see the flesh that was broken, the blood that was spilled for us. Father, we want to be filled with the Spirit. And God, we maybe even admit we're confused a little bit about the messengers of God, your angels. But God, we know it's a messenger of God that reads your word, that teaches your word to us. And we know that, Father, even if we can't identify an angel right now, that we can look in our hands and see the greatest ambassador and presence of your flesh in our lives, that is Jesus himself. God, we partake of the body of your Son, broken for us, and we partake of the blood of your Son spilled for us. God, be with us that we see our children, our marriages, our friends, our lives as different, as we take his body into ours and in faith have been filled with the Spirit. Father, thank you for this time in his word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing a song. It'd be a time of decision. If anybody wants to make one publicly, just feel free to come as we sing.
Time I try to make it on my own. Every time I try to stand, it's not too far. All those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it. In the valleys,
there was Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the
blessing buried in the broken.